Perfect.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. We're here today to express our thanks, to celebrate together as your people who know what it is that you have done for us and who desire to worship you and to give you thanks. So at this time when seems like the world's falling apart around us, we just want to take this opportunity to stop and recognize the many blessings that you have poured out on us and to say thank you. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, in the blog, which I finally got around to writing this morning, I said the message would be shortish. So, y'all get to eat, I promise.
Okay.
Did you get that, Wayne?
No, ma'am.
Well, you sort of did, actually. It's on the blog. praise God. It has been a tough year. I mean, I was thinking this morning, you know, at the beginning of the year, you had a lot of people, you know, making a play on words with the 2020, talking about their 2020 vision.
Yeah.
Man, those people were blind.
Yeah.
But we've had, of course, the COVID thing has come up and really caused a lot of fear and a lot of confusion and allowed a lot of people to do things that ordinarily would never be tolerated. We've had social upheaval and rioting and, of course, the political uncertainties that we're experiencing now. Mm-hmm. Within our own body, we've had physical ailments and we've lost loved ones. It might be tempting to say, Lord, what exactly am I supposed to be thankful for again? You know, we have a banner, and I don't know if it's visible. I don't know if we've had a chance to put it up yet.
No.
But there's a banner that was made when we lost David a couple of years ago that says, Attitude of Gratitude. And that is, I think, a great statement of who we should be, especially as a church that faces maybe additional challenges in greater number. We still know that we serve a good God, that we serve a God who has cared for us, who has loved us, who has prepared for us a future beyond anything that we can imagine. And to be thankful for the sacrifice that he made. Yeah, life is tough here, but just a temporary. God has something much greater in store. And even now, we can see him working.
Yes.
And we can see the things that he's doing. We don't always understand it, but we have faith and we believe.
Amen.
In the goodness of our God. And so, yes, we can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that our basic needs are met.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody in here starving. I don't see anybody anyway, but that's beside the point. We have many troubles in our nation, but I challenge you to find anywhere else better to live.
Right.
We have people around us who love us. If you doubt that, talk to me afterwards, please.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Savior who died for us.
Amen.
And who rose again.
Amen.
We have an eternity beyond description that we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. If you look up gratitude on dictionary.com, you find these definitions: a state of being grateful, or grateful as a synonym, warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received, thankful. Thanks, grateful feeling or acknowledgement of a benefit, favor, or the like. And the Bible words that get translated really aren't different than these definitions that we know, just in depth of context. But we show gratitude because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, our scripture for the day, says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
In everything give thanks. That's a hard, that can be hard.
Yes, it is.
Until we gain the perspective. But it's all through the Bible. Thanksgiving is all through the Bible.
Yes.
You find it in the temple, or before the temple, the tabernacle, where King David assigned people whose whole job was to give thanks when the ark was installed there in the temple. When Hezekiah reestablished the temple worship a few years later, after things had kind of fallen down, he did the same thing. When he and put the worship back in, he had people assigned to give thanks. When people had the job of leading Thanksgiving again, when Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the temple after the return from exile, they had people whose job was to give thanks. They were following David's lead.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat, we back it up a few years now, back into the kingdom of Judah. But Jehoshaphat, you might remember the story of how he was under attack. Mm-hmm. And they were worried. They thought, "Oh man, we can't fight all these people." And so they prayed and they fasted, and God said, "Don't you worry about it. You do what I tell you and everything will be fine." And what he told them to do was totally antithetical to what you would think you would want to do in a battle. When you're in a battle, you don't put your musicians up front. But that's what God told them to do. He said, "Put your musicians up front and have them give thanks." And it says, depending on your translation, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever," or "his loving kindness," or "his loyal love." Depends on your translation. Your King James said, "Praise ye the Lord." But be thankful. And God, because of their thankfulness, delivered them and actually turned the enemy on themselves. From the time that army got there, they'd already killed each other off. Now, these were instructions for a specific time and place, but they do suggest to us that the right approach when times get tough, when we think there's no way we can win, when we think there's no possible out, the thing to do is to praise and give thanks to the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
And watch Him work.
Amen.
Too many psalms to count, too many psalms to mention, talk about giving thanks to the Lord. We have the story of the leper in Luke 17, or there were actually 10. If you remember, Jesus healed them, and only one of them came back. The one that came back was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan, the people that the Jews hated. But he came back and gave thanks to the Lord. And because of that, Jesus bestowed on him something more than the others got. I don't totally understand that. I have to make a study of that at some point, I think. But it's pointed out that he was the one who came back to give thanks.
That's right.
We also know that it was part of the early church worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is talking about the proper, he's dealing with disorder in the church and the proper way that things ought to be done. And particularly in people speaking in tongues, not that that's not supposed to be done, but it has to be done in a certain way. And they've gotten out of control. But in the midst of this, in chapter 14, verses 16, he's talking about giving thanks. And the way that it's worded there, it's obvious that giving thanks was part of normal church worship. Mm-hmm. Our forefathers understood this and recognized its importance. our founders of this nation. What is it that we're celebrating when we have our Thanksgiving? We're celebrating the original Thanksgiving where the pilgrims had come over from England, and they were celebrating the harvest that they'd almost died, and then God had turned it around. You know the whole story. I won't go through the whole thing, but we celebrate that every year. In 1789, George Washington proclaimed a day of thanks at the ratification of the Constitution. In 1795, again, he proclaimed a day of thanksgiving for general benefits, he said. It was proclaimed on various Thursdays in November up until the year 1941, when it got established firmly as the fourth Thursday. But as time has gone on, we've sort of forgotten what it means. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating by feasting together. In fact, that's biblical. Everything that was done, every time God instituted some sort of a thing for the Israelites or some worship activity, it was all surrounded by feasting. It's a way that we come together and fellowship. And gathering with family is good. And it's good that we make time to do that. But we would do well to remember why and to whom we give thanks. Because he deserves it.
Yes, he does.
Psalms 50, verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." Some your King James, I think, says sacrifice of praise there. "And to him who orders his way aright will I show the salvation of God." Of course, we've already read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that it's God's will for us to give thanks. Colossians 4:2. Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thankfulness."
Mm-hmm.
Or thanksgiving, actually, it does say. Jesus did it. Jesus offered prayers of thanks.
Amen.
At one place, he thanks the Lord that he'd hidden these things from the wise and given them to babies, of course, being metaphorical there. Because the people there, the Jewish leaders, thought they had it all together. They missed the whole point. And another place, he thanks the Lord in John chapter 11 as he's praying at the grave of Lazarus there. He says, "I thank you that you heard me." And of course, he was saying that for the benefit of those who were there, because he always, he knew the Father always heard him. He was engaged, and I think this is part of the reason why we do it. He always thanked the Lord for the food. He thanked God for the loaves and fishes before he divided them up and fed the 5,000 people. In the communion that we often recite as we share the cup and the bread, it says that he gave thanks. And thanksgiving even happens in heaven. The creatures at the throne, Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 9. The angels at the redemption of the saints in chapter 7, verses 11, 12. The elders at the throne at the seventh trumpet, chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. So we've established that thanksgiving is a part of our worship. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we, after God has done all that he has done for us? What then does that thankfulness, what is the form then that attitude of gratitude, as we say, should take? Well, one of the things, you know, when we talk about attitude, what is that? It's our thoughts. It's the way we think. It's the way we choose to feel about things. Our attitude toward God, recognizing what He has done, choosing to trust Him, even when we can't see the end. That can be the hard thing sometimes. It's been hard for us. It's been hard for me. But we have to make that choice.
Yes, Lord.
Our attitude toward others plays into that. Because especially within the church, you know that everyone that you see, everyone that's a part of your church family is your brother and sister in Christ, beloved by God. You ought to be careful what you think about it and what you say about it.
That's right.
Nobody's perfect.
Mm-mm.
But what we need to do is appreciate the good.
Right.
And there's not a person in here that I can't appreciate something good about.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes their contribution to who we are. Our words, yes, are so important. We talk, and in our prayer, we remember Philippians 4:6. We read that a lot around here, and it says, you know, that in the midst of our prayer, he says, you know, don't be anxious for anything, but, you know, with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Yes, always.
Make your requests known to God. And also our words when we're speaking to others. But gratitude, true gratitude, goes beyond our words.
Mm-hmm.
True gratitude expresses itself in action. You know, I can say nice things all day, and that's good, and I should say nice things, but if I don't back that up, if I don't, you know, when that person that has benefited me in some way needs something and I don't reciprocate, I'm not really expressing a whole lot of gratitude to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's an expectation. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's an expectation and a provision made for sacrifices of thanksgiving. You find that in Leviticus chapter 7. There was actually a protocol if you wanted to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You see it also in chapter 22, verse 29. Paul tells us again that in everything we do, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
Yeah. Amen.
True gratitude expresses itself in action.
Yes, it does.
And so as we go forth today, we're all going to, in some way, I know that, you know, depending on your comfort level and your family's comfort level, we'll all have different things going on this week. Some of us will meet with family. Some of us may choose something a little bit more virtual. But whatever we do, let us express our gratitude both in word and deed.
Amen.
True.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you have been so good to us.
Amen.
Show us today, and as we go throughout the week and beyond, how it is that that we can best show our gratitude to you.
Yes, Lord.
And I know that one of the things we could do, we're coming up, we'll have Thanksgiving, and then Christmas season will be full on. And I always say every Christmas season, let's give Jesus something He would want for His birthday.
Amen.
And you know what He likes better than anything else? New people in His family.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go out and share the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us as we strive to do for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.